Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Naradas
Tad
Upakarnya Gyatva Tasya Shakirshitam Shrishtva Murtani Akaknena Panina Praha Vismitaha Naradastarupakarnya Jatvatasya Chakirshitam Krishtva Murtanya Kagnena Panina Praha Vismitaha Naradaha. The great sage Narada. Tat. That. Upakarnya. Overhearing. Jatva. And knowing. Tasya. His. Dhruva Maharaja's. Shakirshitam. Activities. Srishtva. By touching. Murdhani, on the head. Aghagnena,
which can drive away all sinful activities.
Panina, by the hand. Praha, said. Visnitaha, being surprised. The great sage Narada overheard this news. And understanding all the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, he was struck with wonder. He approached Dhruva, and touching his head with his all-virtuous hand, he spoke as follows. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was talking with his mother, Suniti, of all the incidences that had taken place in the palace, Narada was not present. Thus the question may be raised, how Narada overheard all these topics? The answer is that Narada is Trikalakya. He is so powerful that he can understand the past, the present, and the future of everyone's heart, just like the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, after understanding the strong determination of Dhruva Maharaj, he came to help him. It may be explained in this way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, and as soon as he understands that a living entity is serious about entering devotional service, he sends his representative. In this way, Narada was sent to Dhruva Maharaj. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. Because of Dhruva Maharaja's determination, Krishna, the Supersoul, immediately sent his representative, Narada, to initiate. Om Akyamati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manabhistam Sthapitam Jina Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamaya Tathati Shahadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Shahagana Raganatam Vitamstam Sadivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Prajanama Sehitam Akrishna Chaitam Nadevam Sri Radha Krishna Padan
Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditamscha E Krishna Karana Sindho Nina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tata Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vanshapo Patrubhyascha Kripasintho Vyayedacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasaibo Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Naradas tad upakarnya gyatva tasya chikirshitam sprishtva murdhanya kakneena panina praha vismita. Vismita, very surprising how this boy was so determined to attain the help of Krishna. In one sense, very surprising how strong the Kshatriya spirit is. That even though he's a child, he's so determined. A little Kshatriya, very determined. And from another point of view, although he's a little child, he's so he's been directed toward Krishna. He's been directed toward Krishna, and he's taking it seriously. Let me find Krishna. Let me find Krishna. It's come in an interesting way that he has some material desire, but somehow he's come to have confidence that Krishna can fulfill my desire. Arto artarti jigyasu jnani chavaratarsha. Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukriti marjana. Four kinds of pious persons turn to Krishna. The person in distress, the person who's curious, the person who's looking for knowledge, and artarti, the person who's looking for some material profit. So Dhruva Maharaj comes in that category. He's looking for some material gain. He's been insulted by his stepmother and told that he can never inherit the kingdom, or he can never sit on the throne because he's born the wrong wife. He's been sharply insulted, and therefore his prestige has been hurt. So he's looking toward Krishna to solve the matter. I want them, such a kingdom, or a better kingdom. So he's turning toward Krishna. Oh, Narada stad upakarnya. Narada overheard everything. Because Narada is all powerful. Or not all powerful like Krishna, but by the grace of Krishna, he's informed about what's going on. Krishna is the super soul; he's everywhere. Upadrashtana mantacha. He's sitting in everyone's heart, and he knows what's going on. And he's allowing, he's permitting, he's directing also for those who take direction. But he knows. Upadrashta, overseer, as the overseer in everyone's heart, he knows what's going on. And the devotee is in touch with Krishna.
So as Krishna may desire, the devotee also knows. Especially a devotee of the caliber of Narada Muni. He knows not only the past, but the present and the future. The very Vyasadeva also is Prikalugyana. He knows past, present, and future. Of course, everyone knows something about the future. We know the sun will set this evening. We know it will rise tomorrow. We know something about the future also. But our future knowledge is very limited. Our knowledge of the past is also very tiny. And even in the present, we're confused about what's going on. So even now, we don't see what's what. There's a famous painting of a village boy, a city boy visiting a village, and some village girls are talking to him. They surrounded him. They're talking with him, three or four village girls, and he's a handsome young city fellow, and he's charming them. But in the meantime, they're busy. One's got his watch, one's got his in his pocket, and they're all picking his pockets, and he's thinking he's sharp stuff from the city. And meanwhile, these village girls are completely robbing him. So in that way, we think that we know what we're going on. We think we know what is going on. And something entirely different may actually be going on. We think that we're controlling. We think that we're winning over the laws of material nature. And actually, we're the victims. We're being victimized by Maya's powerful illusory tricks. So a self-realized person, Dhiras Tatra Namunyati, is not bewildered. He knows exactly what's going on. And in the case of Narada Muni, he knows not only the past, but the present and the future also. Krishna also knows. Bhagavad Gita. Vedaham samaditani vartamanani charjana pavishyami chuputani mam tuvedana kashtana. Krishna says, I know. Vedaham samaditani vartamanani. I know the past, I know the present. Pavishyami chuputani. I also know the future of all living beings. Mam tuvedana kashtana. But no one knows me. But a devotee knows Krishna and knows the past, present, and future as Krishna may desire. Narada stat upakarnya. Therefore, Narada knew what had been going on with this Yuva Maharaj. Gyatva, he heard, he knew all about his activities. Therefore, he approached Yuva Maharaj. Yuva's gone to the forest, yes. Yes. And Narada Muni is approaching. This is Krishna's arrangement. When one is looking for Krishna sincerely, then Krishna may arrange to help him. Without Krishna's help, no one can find Krishna. But when Krishna helps, then it becomes possible. Well, Krishna helps in different ways, but especially he sends his representative. He sends his devotee to a person whom he favors. Brahmanam pamite kon bhagyavan jeev Guru Krishna prasade bhai bhagyanta bij. Everyone is wandering around the material universes. But one very fortunate living entity, Bhagyaman, is fortunate. By the mercy of Krishna and by the mercy of his spiritual master, gets the seed of devotional service. Well, it's by the mercy of Krishna that one meets a bona fide spiritual master. And it's by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master that one can be engaged in the devotional service of Krishna. So here it's just even in Bhagavad Gita, Even in fruitive activities, the whole thing is arranged by Krishna. Krishna explained that someone wants to worship the demigods for material profit. So Krishna says, from within his heart, I give him the determination, okay, do this. Worship the demigod, do rituals and sacrifices. And from within the heart of the demigod, I give direction to give the fellow what he wants. Give him what he wants. Already he's worshipping, give. So the person thinks, because I'm worshipping the demigods, I'm getting some profit. But actually, mayavavihitan, the result is actually given by Krishna. The result is actually given by Krishna. So, because Krishna is independent and the demigods are, and the living beings are dependent. Independently, the demigods can't give anything. But when they receive the order or the sanction from Krishna, then they can do it. Then they can do it. So the person is thinking it's between him and the demigods. Actually, it's entirely dependent on Krishna. But devotional service means approaching Krishna directly. Krishna is not dependent on anyone else. But the same process, he sees that someone is looking toward him. So he sends a bona fide spiritualness. If you see someone's looking for the demigods, then Krishna may say, all right, worship the demigods, go to the demigod temple, I'm a demigod association. But if he sees someone's looking for me, then he helps. So the help has come for Dhruva Maharaj in the form of Narmuni, great self-realized soul.
Shprishtva murhan yajnena panina praha vismita. So Narad Muni approached
and touched Dhruva Maharaj on the head, giving benedictions.
Aghagnena panina
means freeing one from all sinful reactions. Simply by being touched by the pure devotee, one becomes purified. There's some verse like that cited in the Nectar of Devotion, simply by seeing or touching or hearing from the pure devotee, one becomes purified. Very rare to find such a pure devotee. But by his touching, one becomes purified. Giving benedictions. So Narada Muni is giving his with his all virtuous hands, it said, his all virtuous hand. Agagnina, Banyana. The all virtuous means dispelling sinful reactions. Dispelling sinful reactions. There's elsewhere in Nectar Devotion, it said that simply by glancing, if a pure devotee just glances, you may get become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Just by glancing. Or just by his desire that this boy should become a devotee. And the desire is so strong, that may be sufficient. Simply by seeing, simply by desiring. The power of a pure devotee is so great. Simply by seeing. So here, by touching. Because to be engaged in devotional service, Yesham Tantagatam Papam Janana Punyakarma. One needs to be free from sinful reactions. So the same thing happened in another incident with Narada Muni. A hunter, Narada Muni met a hunter, and the hunter was performing sinful activities, half killing animals. And Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And met the hunter. And the hunter, by the influence of Narada Muni, was impressed. And sometimes, someplace there was a comment in Prabhupada the Lamrita that some ordinary person saw Prabhupada and said, he's glowing. Who is that man who's glowing? So in that way, even an ordinary person may see, here's someone extraordinary. So the hunter was impressed by the influence of Narada. He saw, here's somebody special. Here's somebody special. So in his own way, he wanted to render some service. So he offered Narada Muni, what can I give you? Maybe a deer skin or a bear skin? What would you like? So he was already softened. He was angry at first, that who's opened my traps? Who's released these animals? But then when he saw Narada Muni, he became a little softened. Oh, who's this nice person? And then he offered, what can I give you, sir? Some skins. Well, Narada Muni said, thank you, no skins. But please don't half kill the animals. Either kill them or don't kill them, but don't half kill them. Well, that led to a discussion. And in the course of the discussion, the hunter was enlightened about the nature of his sinful activities and surrendered to the lotus feet of Narada Muni. So, here. So that was simply by the association of such a pure devotee, even the hunter became purified. Or by the association of Haridas Thakur, the prostitute, became purified. And there are many other examples how persons who may have been sinful in their background, by the association, Lama Matra Sadhusangi Sarvasiddhiyar, even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one's whole life can change. Even if he has some material motive. One of our godbrothers, he told us that he was came in touch with Prabhupada, and this devotee happened to be a thief. So he was seeing that Prabhupada has a very nice gold watch. And he was thinking that, let me stay around here. Maybe I'll get the opportunity to finish that watch. But things turned in such a way that this thief became a devotee. So even if one has some material purpose, artarti, one's coming out of some need of money, or he's coming to for relief of distress, or whatever his motive may be, but if he comes in touch with a pure devotee, his heart may be purified.
So Shprishtva Murdhanya Kagnena.
It was certainly a great mercy of Narada Muni that he came and touched the boy on the head. We've seen sometimes pictures through the Prabhupada there and touching someone, maybe a child or maybe Brahmachari, touching on the head. So special blessing. Just by that touch, one can make great advancement.
Sprishva Murtanya Kaganena Panina Pranavismata. And not simply touching, but
Narada Muni will also give transcendental instructions for the enlightenment of Dhruva Maharaj. The spiritual master doesn't enlighten simply by touch, but most important is his instructions. By the mercy of Krishna, one comes in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, and if one gives submissive oral reception to the message of the spiritual master, then one can become fully enlightened in the science of Krishna.
Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij.
One gets the seed of devotional service, and if one carefully waters that seed by hearing and chanting, then he can make great advancement and attain perfection. Any questions?
The hunter, he was amused, entertained by the suffering he was causing to him. Narada Muni told him, kill or don't kill. Don't cause excessive pain. By Narada Muni allowing him to the option of killing, nothing, it's just completely inconsistent in the body. It's a kind of dumbfield. So, in terms of a creature, in terms of someone like yourself, there's a whole range of different types of levels of consciousness that the human entities have. For yourself, do you perceive that some entities may be advancing very slowly?
Yeah, sure, like me.
Do you allow that different people will?
You can't prevent it. Some people will advance quickly, some people will advance slowly. And unless you're super powerful, even if you're super powerful, what can you do? Everyone has his independence, and you can't simply by your will make everyone go fast. Otherwise, everyone would be liberated by now just by the desires of the pure.
On one hand, you have a mission. On one hand, you have a separate job description. How does one learn to tolerate that people are responding to your good instruction?
What can you do? You see again and again that you instruct, and some people don't take it. What can be done? Of course, by comparison to one's own self, one can think, I hear so many good instructions, I also don't follow them all. I also take them slowly. So why should I be angry at others who have the same shortcoming?
Just one run out of patience.
Yeah, sure. One is me, one runs out of patience. Depends how much patience one has. It's mentioned about Lord Ananta, Ananta Shesh, that he is holding the universes on his hoods and seeing the activities of the conditioned souls who refuse to take to Krishna consciousness. He sometimes becomes so angry that although at the end of the cosmic manifestation he burns the universes with his power, he sometimes becomes so angry that he thinks of doing it early. So that propensity is there in Krishna also. He becomes exasperated with the conditioned souls and their refusal to give to Krishna consciousness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example of being tolerant and patient. So we have to cultivate that. If for no other reason than just being impatient doesn't get the job done. Sometimes it does also. Sometimes we saw the Prabhupada would display impatience. And that also serves to awaken the sleeping soul or the lackadaisical disciple. If the spiritual master is infinitely tolerant, infinitely patient, infinitely indulgent, then the guy never learns. The disciple never gets sharp. So Srila Prabhupada quite often would display intolerance, impatience, exasperation, anger. And the picture that's sometimes painted of Srila Prabhupada is the all-tolerant, all-understanding, all-forgiving, all-indulging spiritual master who understands and forgives everyone. It's so far off-target. We've never seen such a person. Prabhupada is not like that. Sometimes he would be tolerant, indulgent, forgiving, patient, but selectively, not as a general policy. And just let it all slide. Prabhupada was so strong, and he would be, especially one of his weapons was sarcasm, Prabhupada would be so biting. You'll be intelligent in 80 years. He would be so strong. And what can be done? Oh, you just discuss it. What can be done?
The final insult. Some disciples were so exceedingly puffed up they thought they knew everything. And Prabhupada said, you don't need a spiritual master. And they were so foolish that they thought, yes, we don't need. They thought Prabhupada was praising their advancement. Yes, we don't need a spiritual master. Mm-hmm.
I just
want to
make a little additional comment on this. And this is an offense also in the, ninth offense of the ordinary to preach to the faithless.
Mm-hmm.
So, my understanding is that the inclination of the pure devotee of the preacher is to always help, you know, the living entities. But when there is no death, when there is no reciprocation in terms of faith from the living entities, then you're right, you know, to not display any patience, because Lord Chandra, he also says in the Ramayana that to show patience and tolerance to a fool is actually a simple activity. Mm-hmm. We call it simple activity,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is coherent, you know, to the fact of an offense to the owner.
In one sense, it's a question of natural feeling. And another is also a question of tactic. Sometimes you see that by being patient will be the best policy. This person, if you try and smash him, they'll just break and go away. So, but if you're a little patient, we have the example of Prabhupada with some of the early devotees. He knew they were performing sinful activities, but he just kind of was patient about it. Shyam Sundar, he told them, and all right, just smoke one cigarette a day. But it was a tactic. It wasn't that Prabhupada intended that forever this man is going to go out smoking. But it was a tactic to get him to stop smoking. Similarly, when Narada told the hunter, all right, just kill them, don't half kill them. It doesn't mean that Narada is sanctioning killing, but it's a tactic. How am I going to get this person to stop? So, best way to get him to stop is say, okay, kill him full. And then from there we'll take the next step and the next step. It's not that Narada is thinking, all right, my business is finished. As soon as he becomes, stops half killing them, then my work is done. Just, if we preach to someone, for example, you become a vegetarian, then the person becomes a vegetarian. Oh, great. But it's not our work. He became a vegetarian. That's something. But that's not our goal. All right, he became a vegetarian. My preaching is successful. But it's only a tactic. All right, do something. Oh, you became a vegetarian. Great, now do this, now do that. It means go on from there. Not that, yes, we're satisfied you became a vegetarian, or you began killing the animals instead of half killing, or whatever it is. These are preaching strategies. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted from sannyas, for example, as a preaching strategy. Or so many things. He patiently listened to Prakatna, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for so many days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking all rubbish. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting there listening. Why? It's a tactic. That if I just, he's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's a big acharya, he's teacher of so many Mayavadis, he's older than me also, and he's taking this attitude that let me affectionately instruct this young man. So if immediately I tell him that it's all nonsense, he'll be offended, he'll go away, it'll be a big blow up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the other way. Let me hear, let me remain silent. And after remaining silent so many days, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya naturally asked, why no questions? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in. I have no questions because I understand that the sutra is not so difficult. But you're all rubbish explanations, that's another thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a preaching tactic. Prabhupada said about preaching to the college students one time, he said that you should be patient and find out how to present things to them in an intelligent way. He said, they may be a little puffed up. He said, but that's all right. They're entitled to be puffed up. But we have to preach to them tactfully. Yes?
Who has maybe some weakness or maybe addicted to an attitude which is contrary to Krishna consciousness, but he's very sincere and he practices 95% very well, but he has some weakness. And that activity that's his attachment to, that's what's keeping him to the moment. How do we deal with that situation, whether it's in our own heart or if we see it in the hearts of others? Is it a case of patience? Because if we slam that person or slam ourselves, then your neighbors give up completely or they will give up completely.
Slamming yourself is good. Slamming yourself is healthy. Especially if you're 95%, then you can take it. Right?
Is it a case of understanding that we're not going to be good devotees overnight, but it is actually...
Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishtriya Tarya Tatat Karma Pravartana. First thing is enthusiasm. Then to be confident about the process. And then to be patient also. And Tatat Karma Pravartana, to follow the rules and regulations. And give up bad association. Act in the mood of goodness. So all of these things. Not that we artificially, I'll take sannyas. Household elector is mine, I'll take sannyas. And he's not purified in heart, but he thinks that just by sannyas he'll solve all his problems in one go. Not artificially like that. But also not tolerant. It's householder life, you know. Can't really expect and be so strict, you know, pull off a joint here and there, or whatever it is. Not that it's a license for neglecting the regular principles or rules and regulations, and that one is indulgent of oneself and allows oneself to develop all around this. Or in any ashram setting, as well, I'm sannyasi, I'm preaching, and doing everything, so if I do a little of this or that, then you should be strict.
So I've kind of come to the realization that, well, it is practicing, but I think I've more realized about the fact that Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. I think sometimes it's good to know that, because I think otherwise if we become overly aware of our weaknesses, we forget the positive side and maybe become discouraged. And I don't know if that is the
Well, there's two things. One is there's nothing I've seen in injunction that says don't be too aware of your shortcomings. The alternative is to be unaware, which means unconscious. So I haven't seen any recommendation be unconscious of your shortcomings. As far as being patient, that's a different thing. And also there's an injunction, I think it's mentioned in Narada Bhakti Sutra. One should not be overindulged in lamentation. Overindulgence means it's fine to lament, I'm so fallen. But to overindulge means to reason, I'm so fallen. I can never serve Krishna. I might as well not even get up this morning. Krishna probably doesn't even want to see me at Mangalarti. Even if I go to the Bhagavatam class, what will I understand? Why go? And so you become so, then it becomes a kind of self-indulgence. Woe is me, oh indeed, so woe, so much woe. Woe, woe, and more woe. And you spend your whole life being woeful, so much so that you never do any service for Krishna. Now that's overindulgence. To wallow in and glory in it, really. I'm so full. Oh, am I full? I can't do a stitch of work, I'm so full. So that's overindulgence. On the other hand, to be keenly aware of one's shortcomings is good. The Otherwise, how will you drive out the anarthas? In the description of the plant devotional service, we're reading Paki Lata Beach. Then watering the plant, and one has to see the weeds. One has to see the weeds. So if we make a policy, well, there's so many weeds, you know, if I start seeing all of them, I'll go nuts. No, maybe just start picking them, start throwing them out. And okay, there'll be more, Hare Krishna. There'll be more, you just keep at it. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cleansing the Gundicha temple, cleansed it again, never became discouraged. Oh, there's so much here. Just, you know, that's what it takes. You have to clean it. And just one shouldn't be discouraged by seeing how much there is to clean. But I get, sometimes when I do editorial work, I look at a page and I think, oh, there's so much to be done on this page. And sometimes if I try to do it all in one go, it's like, so it's exhausting. So I'll go through the page and I'll do the easy things. I'll go through the page and start doing the next thing. I'll give it a third pass and a fourth pass, and someplace toward the tenth pass or something, it starts to look like English. So you have to keep at it. But if I think, well, it's not so bad anyway, really, you know, at best, then you get garbage. You don't have a standard anymore. So one should be aware of it. One should work on it. And at the same time, one should know that it takes time. As you say, it's a gradual process. So if I didn't become a pure devotee in a week and a half, well, they never promised me I'd become a pure devotee in a week and a half. It's a lifelong process. But both things, I should be aware of what's what, and I should enthusiastically work at it. And at the same time, okay, it takes time. Any other question?
I wonder, through the trying to locate it to the Polestar, I heard that it's a spiritual
element. Yes.
And I was also wondering, when did he obtain the spiritual body?
When did he attain the spiritual body?
Yeah.
That's described. There's an airplane was sent for him. And you'll read about it next day. That's the best time to do this. Anything else? Yes.
Just in relation to that last question, previous question, sometimes you it said low self-esteem.
That's good.
What does that mean?
Low self-esteem? That means Krishna consciousness. Sure. It's a cycle that's psychologically in vogue to think that if you have a low opinion of yourself, something's wrong with you. If you see yourself as having lots of faults and shortcomings, then you're some sort of a messed up drip who will never make it in the world, and you're in need of intense psychological counseling to build up your sense of confidence and esteem. So, the usual problem is that people have too much self-esteem. They think that they're either God's gift to the world, or that they're the one who's giving the gift, that they're God himself. If you look at the writings of the Goswamis with your psychological insights, you'll say that they've all had low self-esteem. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, "I'm lower than the worm in the school. Anyone who takes my name loses all those good qualities." Now, what is that if not low self-esteem? All of our charges, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advocating Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishana. One should think oneself lower than the straw on the street. He's campaigning for low self-esteem.
Yes. Then on the other hand, you sit here and you describe your realizations to the plant, so it can't be, there must be some type of, it's not totally thinking of oneself. And surely one, since I truly, truly follow him, would think that his opinion was of any consequence in any subject matter. So it seems like there's.
So therefore,
one has, notice one has potential. It must be some kind of balance.
Well, the person who's qualified thinks that the qualification belongs to Krishna. And what will I say? But I've heard something from my spiritual master, so let me repeat that. And I'm, like Prabhupada said, a postal peon. And given the message, I have to deliver it. It doesn't matter what my personal shortcomings are. So I'm done, it doesn't matter. But despite my personal shortcomings, I have to do the job. Not that.
An imperfect deliverer or perfect message, is that so?
Yeah, one doesn't think I am the perfect deliverer of the perfect message, but one thinks that the message is perfect, so if I deliver it, it will act. Prabhupada wrote in his poem that I have no qualifications, but the desire of the acharyas is very strong, the potency of the vibration is very is unlimited. So if I can just get the message over there, it may act.
Like the postman,
isn't it? Like the postman. He doesn't think it's my personal credit. Therefore, nirahankaram, nothing is my great qualification. It's Krishna. He gets the credit, Krishna and the spiritual master.
So that just says the idea is trying to do our duty despite our shortcomings.
Yeah. Yeah, but every one of us, if we're honest, will say that I have so many shortcomings. But again, if I say, well, I have so many shortcomings, I might as well, you know, stay home and not do anything. That's overindulgence. That's exactly what Rupa Goswami means by overindulgence in lamentation. Despite my shortcomings, let me try. And if Krishna desires, something may be possible. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a king, which was impossible. He was a kid. But by the grace of Krishna, it became possible. So, in that way, we have to think. But low self-esteem is... Yeah. All right, we should stop here. Thank you. All those who should have
thought of it. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki.